Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. That's okay. It's like we've done church. We've had the kids and they sang praise and let's just stand up and say amen. But some of you may not have kids. You still want to put some gas in the tank, but our message today will be a little bit shorter. We're going to talk about this theme because as we go into Christmas, but let's begin with a word of prayer, shall we? Let's pray. God above, I thank you for this time of year. For many of us, it brings back a lot of memories of good times with family or friends, Christmas songs, the story of Jesus. For others, though, it's a time where it might be anxious, anxiety, loneliness, even depression. But God, today, for the next little bit, we pray your Holy Spirit be in our midst. And we put aside the cares and the concerns of the world for a moment in time and have a sanctuary here in your presence to come to know you better. Please attend the reading of your word. And may your Holy Spirit accompany it and help us to grow closer to you by being among your people today, is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Question for you all today. Let's see if I've got the pick. Yeah. What was, when you were a kid, 12 years and under-ish, what was your favorite Christmas gift? Favorite Christmas gift? A what? Okay, Red Rider BB gun. Okay, thanks. Thanks, Boz. Okay. Red Rider BB gun. Anybody else?
Schwinn bicycle.
Schwinn bike, okay. Anybody?
Popping.
What's that?
Popping
machine. What? Is that the little roller with the pop? Okay. Yes, where you little roll and it pops? Okay. Okay, that works, I guess. Popping machine. Anybody else? Legos, okay, yeah. My son, he loved Lego racers, and he couldn't stop talking about it one year. And I mean, everybody has their different gifts. Anybody have those Light Bright things? Remember the Light Bright? And nowadays, kids have these video games. I remember when Pong came out with whoop, whoop, whoop. That was awesome. That was high tech, right? You plug it in, the TV's, you know, you can interact with it. But, man, when I was a kid, one of my favorite was this electric football set. And you plug it in, and the players are supposed to, you know, I thought it'd be like a football game, but they just go around in circles, and they're going anywhere but they're supposed to. It's like, this is the greatest gift, but it's not. It's not. But I think it's fun as I've gotten older to be a parent. Because as a parent, I like Christmas to see the reaction of my kids, my two boys and my daughter. I like, because in our home, we would do the stockings on Christmas Eve after Christmas services, and then we do some of the presents on Christmas morning. And I like their reactions, except, you know, socks, it's like, meh. But, you know, most of the times it's, you know, things that maybe they didn't expect, that we would put our heads together and, you know, whatever our, you know, whatever the kids had on their wish list, we tried not to get them things that, you know, we tried not to fill all their wish lists. You know, so they don't develop an entitlement attitude. Did you read that article this week about the family that canceled Christmas? Did you read that? People are just accusing them. You're ruining Christmas for your kids. You're stunting their growth. You're horrible parents. The kids have become so self-centered and selfish that the parents said, you know what? We're going to spend our money on helping the needy and the poor. We'll do it as a family. And others are like going, bravo, way to go. It's not your birthday. It's God's birthday, right? But what I love about Christmas is I just love seeing the joy that a lot of little kids have. And even up here, when the kids, they didn't know the songs, some of them are just doing the hand motions and, you know, they just want to participate. You remember Vacation Bible School and summer camps for some of you here? They had all the fun songs, right? Father Abraham had many, you ever hear that song? Right arm, left arm, and all the trees are gently sway. You know, the kids, it's just joy. But as we get older, what happens? As we get older, we lose some of that. Well, Jesus has something to say to us about children. And as we approach Christmas, as we approach it, I'd like us to look at what he says. In Mark chapter 10, the bulletin has the passage from Luke, but I like Mark's rendition of it. So please stand with me and let's look at Mark chapter 10. I'll put the words on the screen or you may follow along in your Bibles. But Mark chapter 10. We'll go next. I might need some help in the back, so we'll go next slide. I'll read the verse on the screen. Next slide. Feel free to take control of it, and I'll just put the clicker down. How did the disciples do it without technology? There we go. Okay. Let's read it together. One day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples. He said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not stop them. For the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." Then he took the children in his arms and placed his hands on their heads and blessed them. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Next slide. Did that surprise you that Jesus became angry? There's only two places in the Gospels where it says Jesus became angry. And I had this discussion with a friend of mine years ago. He said, "Jesus never got angry." I said, "What Bible are you reading? It says there's two places where he got angry." Well, one is not he went in the temple. He wasn't angry in the temple. I said, that's not one of them. Remember when Jesus cleansed the temple? Went in and drove out those who were buying and selling in the church, and became a den of thieves, and he had zeal for his Father's house. No, the two places where the Bible says Jesus became angry, one was in Mark chapter 3, where there's a man with a withered hand. And Jesus goes into the temple, and he wants to heal him, but the Pharisees, the legalists, the self-righteous were there looking to trip him up. And Jesus says, "Is it better to heal him or to kill?" Because Jesus was going to break the Sabbath, right, for healing him. And the Bible says Jesus looked at them with anger. And then he healed him anyway, right? And then this time, why did he get upset? This is near the end of his earthly ministry. He's leaving Judea. He's going to go to Jerusalem. He's going to share for the third time that he's going to be betrayed and beaten and crucified. So things are getting a bit serious, and the disciples are thinking, well, the kingdom of God is for adults. Only we can understand it, right? So parents are bringing their children to him. And the Greek word for that, agonakteo, for anger, it's not just Jesus wasn't happy. It means to be moved with displeasure. Jesus was moved with displeasure. He said, "Don't you dare stop children from coming to me, because this is what the kingdom of God is like. This is what the kingdom of God is like. And unless you embrace the kingdom like these children, you won't enter it." I think there's a few points, and I'm only going to focus on one main point today. Not three, not five, but one main point. Obviously children matter. They matter to God. They matter to Christ. And they matter to us, right? 85% of decisions for Christ happen by the time someone turns 14 years old. So the best investment a church or a chapel can make is investing in children's programs, Club Beyonds, youth, young adults, children's ministry. What about those of you who don't have kids? I've talked with many people over the years who can't have children of their own, but they've become such a great influence, and they've adopted children, in church, and they've taught them, and they've loved them, and they've shared Christ with them. But 85%, according to the International Bible Society, of decisions for Christ are made by the time turn 14 years old. But the point, I think, that separates children to receive the kingdom of God like a child, the big difference that I see between children and adults, is it seems that children are very, next slide, children are very trusting. Children are trusting, right? They'll make friends with strangers. They'll make friends with adults. We'll go next slide. That's okay. We'll preach the word. If the slides don't work, we'll preach it. We'll go through it. But children are trusting, right? They'll trust people they shouldn't. So that's why we as adults have to say, not everybody's good. Not everybody has good intentions. So we tell our kids, that this world is not just a safe place. But kids are very trusting. And I think Christ wants us to just have this abandon, this trust in God, that God, I trust you. But as we get older, we get hurt. We become jaded. And we stop trusting. And my parents, I trusted them when I grew up. If they told me the world was flat, I would have believed it. If they told me that pet rocks were alive, I would have believed it. My parents, next slide. I was confused growing up. I don't know how many of you, but I was confused about Christmas. I knew it was Jesus' birthday, but I also knew Santa Claus and elves and toys and the North Pole. Now, some of you as Christian parents, you may not do anything with Santa Claus. Others of you may be all on board with Santa. Others of you, like my family, mixed it up a little bit, right? So I was confused. So I clearly remember to this day when I was, I think it was second grade, but I was a little kid, and I was excited because I was going to catch Santa. I was just waiting. I was going to catch Santa, and I heard noise on upstairs in the middle of the night, Christmas Eve, and I thought it was Santa and the reindeer on the rooftop. And so I run upstairs. I lived in the basement, and my room was in the basement. So I ran upstairs, and I saw my dad taking two boxes out of his bedroom and giving them to my mom, and she put them under the tree. And I thought, no, you know, my world crumbled. I was devastated. So you lied to me. Well, not really, but I was devastated. I trusted them, right? So we trust parents. We trust adults. We trust people. And God wants us to trust Him. It's not a blind trust, but it's a trust nonetheless. It's a trust with abandon. Not all these reservations. Well, God, I'll trust you if you do this. God, I'll trust you if you protect me from all harm. Children don't do that. They trust. It's like a men's group several years ago as a part of, we were reading a book by Tim Hansel called Holy Sweat. And he was describing a time where he and his son were out walking out in the country, and they're walking outdoors among some cliffs. And he hears behind him and above him, "Hey, Dad, catch." And he turns around, and his son was already airborne, jumping right at him. And he's juggling him and trying to catch him, and they both fall to the ground. He's like, he could have gotten injured. And he composed himself, and he said, "Zach, can you give me one good reason why you did that?" And Zach said, with calmness, "Sure, because you're my dad." He yelled, "Dad, catch!" And he jumped before his dad was ready. And that's the trust with abandon, right? Do you remember throwing your kids, for those of your parents, remember throwing your kids up in the air? I remember throwing my kid up in the air, then setting him down, and then say, "Again!" Right? Okay. Throw him up in the air. You catch him, put him down. "Again, Daddy." Right? Time 30, 35. You throw him up. "Again, Daddy." Or in the swimming pool, and you teach him to swim, and you put him up on the edge. You say, "Jump." And they jump. And then, "Again." I remember clearly children have this, once they trust you, they trust you. They trust you. And as we get older, we just get burned. We get burned and we get hurt. People have let us down. People have lied to us. People have disappointed us. Next slide. And so then we feel like we can't trust anymore. And we project our disappointments with other people. We project it on our faith. We project it towards God. And we say, "God, I've had a rough life. I've had a hard upbringing. I'm not sure I can trust you." I mean, my high school years were miserable for several reasons. My father died of cancer. I hated my stepfather. I ran away from home in high school. I had nothing, no interest in God for a period of time. But that was also the time that I learned that I can't project onto God all of my own disappointments and heartache at that time. God can be trusted. God can be trusted. I'm going to show a video clip now, and it's from a movie called Walking Across Egypt. It's about a teenager named Wesley who's been in and out of trouble. He's been in a detention center. People give up on him. But he runs into an old widow named Maddie who believes he deserves a second chance. So she doesn't give up on him. She's going to teach him how to swim. And just think about for a second her technique, because maybe God allows you to go through something that you're not expecting. And is he worthy of trust? So we'll roll the next slide and see if it works.
"Let's go fishing."
"Huh?
Fishing. Can't take these. Thought we'd catch ourselves some dinner."
"I don't feel much like fishing. Thought I might just take a bath."
"Hey, you just had a bath."
"I'm real stinky again."
"Nobody gets stinky that fast. Besides, I need you to drive the boat."
Drive the... Yeah, I can't get in that thing."
"Why not?"
"I'm afraid of the water."
"You what?"
"I'm afraid of the water."
"You're afraid of the water? You mean you can't swim? How do you grow up not being able to swim? Why, my folks had me out there when I... Give me those. Here.
I said it can't swim! Move your arms in circles like this. And kick your legs! Almost like you're rotting in blood!
Somebody help me! Athena, come take a look at this. I think she's finally lost it.
She probably just exercised, and maybe you should try it.
Oh. That's it! Okay, keep your arms going. Come on, come on. Feet and arms, both. Keep them going.
I'm doing it. I'm swimming.
You can stand up now. There. Now you know how to swim.
Okay. And only in hindsight, only when we get to heaven, when we look back into our lives and we see, you know, maybe how God has guided, you know, the footprints in the sand poem, and maybe some of you go through those experiences, you're not sure where God or how God is leading, that you realize his intention was good even though you thought that maybe he was letting you down. And the same way Maddie, her intention was good. She's going to teach him to swim. He thought, at first he thought maybe she's trying to drown him. But she could be trusted. And God can be trusted with us. And this Christmas, the best gift you can give is not just to your kids. The best gift we can give is saying, God, I trust you. It's like the man who prayed when Jesus was healing his son. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. God, help me to turn the steering wheel over. And even if I don't like the road you may be taking, help me not to take it back. But you lead, you guide. I trust you. I trust you. That's difficult for us as adults, whereas kids, Jesus said, be like children. They'll turn it over and they'll trust. Next slide. The Bible says, don't be afraid, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you his kingdom. God wants to bless you. He wants to lead you. He loves giving gifts to his children. This isn't a consumerism, capitalism, worldly way, but he loves his children. He wants to save you. Sometimes people talk about how God wants to keep people out of heaven. The Bible says in Revelation, it's a multitude that can't be numbered. God wants to save us. He wants to save you. And so trust him. Even if things you can't see around the corner, just trust his heart. He loves you. Next slide. This is a verse that if you don't know by heart, I'd challenge you to put it to heart. It's one that many of you know. You learned it in Awanas, right? Trust in the Lord with how much? All your heart? Yeah, that's easy to say, hard to do. Yes, but nonetheless, this is a verse to put to memory. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, because we don't know. You know, it may be that God allows you to go through a heartache that in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it describes people who've had grief in their life, that they're able to comfort others because of their experience, right? Sometimes people who've been through a really rough background are able to minister and to help others who go through a rough background, whereas other people are clueless. That God may allow you to go through certain experiences because he wants to use you to bless others that others will not reach. Trust him. Trust his leading. Trust him with all your heart. Lean on your understanding. Always acknowledge him. He'll make your path straight. He'll direct. He'll lead and he'll guide. And the final verse for today, just for reflection, is 2 Samuel 22. It reminds me of a kid, you know, riding out. And King David had that same spirit. My God is my rock. In him I will trust. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. He's my refuge, my Savior. My God, in him I trust. In closing, I read about a man who took flying lessons, and I'll just read his words. He said, my instructor told me to put the plane into a deep and steep extended dive. I was totally unprepared for what was going to happen. After a brief time, the engine stalled and the plane began to plunge out of control. It soon became evident that the instructor was not going to help me at all. After a few seconds, which seemed like an eternity, my mind began to function again, and I quickly corrected the situation. Immediately, I turned to the instructor, and I vented my frustrations on him. Why did he let us do this? That wasn't okay. And he very calmly said to me, there's no position you can get this airplane into that I cannot get you out of. If you want to learn to fly, go up there and do it again. And then he wrote, at that moment, God seemed to be telling him, remember, as you serve me, there's no situation that you get into that I can't get you out of, that I can't walk with you through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. So trust God. Trust his leading. I know Christmas is coming up and silent night, hectic days. But for you and your family, I just encourage you, don't be misled by the distractions of the temporary. Trust in God. He's got great plans for you. He wants to give you his kingdom. Trust him like a child with full abandon. And if you struggle with it, be honest with your spouse, with your friends, with your family. Be honest and say, I struggle with this, but keep leaning into it. Keep leaning into trusting him. We're going to take communion together now, so I'd like to have the ushers come forward.